Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Greetings, nerds. This is Sina Nerd. I'm your host, Sarah Belmont, and with me, as always, is our Mr. Producer, Will Polk. How are you doing tonight, Will?
Doing very well, sir. How are you doing this Thursday evening?
I'm doing fine. I can't, it's July, Will.
I know. And, you know, after July 4, the days and weeks are just going to go even faster.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's also funny because it's July and we're still talking about Arrowverse shows.
That's true. That's true. And it's going to only be a very short break because they'll be, I think some of them are actually, going back into production in August. So, because I think they'll have their premieres in late October and November. So, yeah, it's going to be a very short break for the shows this time around.
Yeah, short break. But... And it's funny because last year I feel like it's also July and we don't Comic-Con is postponed until November. Is that right?
So what they're doing is I think the weekend after Thanksgiving, they're having an actual in-person event at Hall H and like normal. But I guess we've been getting news this week. You know, I think there is a Comic-Con at home that they're going to do again this month. I think it's July, the weekend of the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And we got news today that Marvel Studios and Warner Bros. Films are not going to be participating in the Comic-Con at home. And also saw late this afternoon that HBO is also not going to be participating, but... some other things are still going to be there. Walking Dead, they're going to have a panel. I think Masters of the Universe is going to have a panel. Star Trek will be there. DC TV, as far as like Lucifer, I think there's a Batman. Halloween? The Long Halloween?
Yeah, Halloween.
Yeah, I think it's going to be on panels. So I guess Jensen Ackles and Katie Sackhoff, who are doing voice work in that, are going to be there. Lucifer also. So there's some things, but obviously, you know, Disney is holding back, you know, for the investor day for all the big Marvel content. And of course we got DC Fandome that'll be in October. So I'm sure that's when all the big stuff from DC will be getting dropped.
As it should, because I think DC Fandom is one of the best things that Warner Brothers has produced in a very long time.
Yeah.
including its movies. I don't know. Yeah. There was something about that whole day where I could not get over how well it worked and then was supremely disappointed by the sequel.
Maybe that's
just classic Warner Brothers. I don't know. But
you're right about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, things are coming. We'll see what happens this year. Speaking about Arrowverse news, Robin Givens is joining Batwoman season 3. She's Ryan's mom, right?
That's got to be it. Yeah, because so she's apparently playing a character called Jada Jett, and she's a CEO of Jett Industries, who apparently had a very rough youth and gave up their first child. and but then built a successful industry. So of course, with Alice's tease at the end of the season two, it's I mean, really, come on, y'all. Can you at least try to hide it a little better?
Right.
So, yeah.
Like it's Ryan's mom or Mary's dad, right?
Yeah, exactly. At this point, that's basically the only mysteries we have left with those two characters.
I'm going to be so mad if we never meet Mary's dad.
Yeah.
Every episode, I'm like, so that guy in the far right corner in that one shot, that was Mary's dad, right?
Yeah, exactly. That'll be the tease for hopefully a season four.
Yeah, hopefully season four. Speaking about teasers, surprisingly, and no, I have not forgotten about the show, but it's been a very long time since I watched the Incredibles season two finale. Season three of Succession is upon us, Will.
Yes. And I think it's a fall release date. I don't think they set the exact date, but it's coming.
Ugh. I really need to set aside time to go and rewatch season two because it's been so long.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I finally did finish it, but yeah, I need to because, you know, kind of zip through it and a show like that, it's like the show I was before we recorded and I was watching part two of Lupin, show on Netflix, and it's one of those shows like that where it's just like you really just gotta just really slowly and just sit and enjoy it and process it because there's so much great stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like, I mean, we're going to talk about another show where you really have to sit back and watch, but that's later in the second half of the show. Yes. Before we get to Loki and all of his friends, She-Hulk will have Deadpool. Yes, I totally read rundowns before we start the show.
Sorry for the typo. So basically She-Hulk is going to be like Deadpool where she's breaking the fourth wall.
For some reason, I was reading it and I thought that it was going in a very different direction.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think that...
Her work in Orphan Black, she can do it. She can make that work. So, because I don't think that they had fourth wall type situations, but though just being like five dozen clones and all different personalities, yeah, she'll be able to make that work. Interesting.
Awesome. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I saw that was also confirmed from various sources, even though Marvel Marvel and Disney have not confirmed it yet, but have seen it in a couple of places. So must be.
Yeah. And to go off of that point about breaking the fourth wall and just breaking walls in general, The Boys, because you know, we can never go too long without some boys action, has launched a new digital series called 7 on 7 from the Vought News Network.
Yeah. Have you watched it?
I've not watched it.
Oh, okay.
But I've seen like images from it and I should send it to my dad, honestly.
That would yeah.
piss him off.
Yeah, I watched it. I loved it. I was just like, I there were a few truly laugh out loud moments in it. Had all the, you know, just all the great commentary on society and in particular talk, you know, and of course the character that they're basing this news anchor off of is Tucker Carlson. So, you know, who, you know, trends for the wrong reasons like every day. So, and really just like took fake news to like the next level, but in the ingenious way of The Boys always does, mocks things in society, and this one clearly, you know, mocking Fox News. I just can't wait for the third season. But really the idea with this 7 on 7 from the VNN is so on the seventh day over the next 7 months, they will be dropping these little, this is, I guess it was about 5-10 minute long, news snippets, and basically to serve as a bridge between seasons 2 and 3. So the first one had a lot of things really that were kind of, I guess, epilogues to a lot of the storylines that we've seen in the first 2 seasons. But, you know, and clearly with the, you know, emphasis towards, you know, season 2 and the things that happened in that that year. But yeah, this is just the thing I needed, because I like you said, I'll start. I'm missing the boys content. I know Star Trek did this too with Star Trek Discovery, where they had these little minis in between seasons. And so it's, you know, hats off to the creative team and the boys for dropping that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I just now, when we get the next season of The Boys, I want one of the episodes to do a spin on The Office, but for the Vought News Network.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I think they're still producing this. And maybe Kripke will hear you say that and they'll like give us one.
Like maybe at this season finale,
yeah,
at the end when they roll credits, just have all of these like Vought News outtakes playing. I don't know. You could take this a very long way. Mm. They already are. I just so I mean, it's great humor. Great humor.
It really is.
Another thing that dropped, and I don't know if we were anticipating it or not, but we have finally gotten the new trailer for What If. And yeah, it will debut on August 11th on Disney Plus. Have I watched that, Will? No. I've been so bad this week.
Well, it just actually, it actually just dropped today. And it was one of those things that caught me by surprise as well, because, you know, I knew what if was coming, and we, you know, I think we had talked about it earlier this year, about MCU content coming our way this year. But, you know, I think I saw maybe an unconfirmed report that it was gonna drop, the series is gonna drop in August, but, you know, we saw it and it was kind of like, you know, it was okay, we'll see it when we get confirmation from Disney. And yeah, they dropped it, I guess, midday today, I guess Eastern time. And and it, that trailer was amazing, as MCU stuff would always be. And I think the big, you know, obviously the big takeaway everybody has, you know, obviously it has the big buzz with, you know, of course, Chadwick, and when I guess his next to last maybe performance, where he did voice work for this. And of course, you know, basically instead of, you know, he's Star-Lord, T'Challa is Star-Lord in this What If. And so mm-hmm. Yondu actually picked him. So yeah, so you know there that you know so there was that, and of course the Tony Stark, you know, Killmonger rescuing Tony. So and of course, well, you know, also I think when they had the initial teaser way back in, I guess, Comic-Con 2019, it was the you know, Peggy Carter as Captain Britain. So yeah, I mean it's gonna be 10 episodes, and so yeah, we're gonna get a lot of good more MCU content on Disney Plus.
It's just amazing the goodness that is coming out of Disney Plus and the MCU right now. I mean, we survived a drought, Will.
Yeah.
And it's just like a fire hose right now.
Yeah. Got my tickets for tomorrow for Black Widow.
And they just keep getting better. And yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing Black Widow with you, because you're going to return to the cinema.
Yep.
And me, in my introverted capacity, will remain on the couch watching it from the luxury of my own. No surprise there. But I'm really, it's been a while since we've actually been able to cover a full movie. Yeah. And that's going to be a very interesting discussion. And it's kind of sad, though, because we have to have that discussion and then probably immediately want to talk about the season finale of Loki.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, we'll only have, you know, we'll only have a few weeks off of MCU content, and we can, you know, in the meantime, we can also enjoy the good the Bart and the Loki short that that was also put out. And I will assume you haven't seen that one yet either. And I told you to watch it. I was like, make sure to watch this.
Sarah watches nothing.
It's only like 4 minutes.
Like multiple times, if for some reason I could never get the link to work and my internet was acting weird. I don't know. I don't like, I'm gonna play the card that I played last week when you asked me about the Flash. I tried, and for some reason technology was like, no, you don't need to watch this for some reason. But I saw like a reel of some of the better moments, so I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
Something like that, though, I kind of wish that they would save for, like, that break period.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
And we're going to talk about it. Because, yes, I actually watched it, and, B, I want to talk about it. But that episode was so great the other night that the word of mouth. No, I've heard very little criticism about this show.
Yeah.
And that's just enough. You don't need these shorts. I want the shorts afterwards because geez, I watched the episode, but I've heard about Easter eggs and I'm like, what? Did I actually watch it? Like 24 scenes in one scene. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about, I think there were like 100 total Easter eggs in the short. And you're right. I wish they had like dropped it afterwards, because actually it was one of those things. It almost slipped off my radar too until I saw a news article about it in our inbox, and then I was just like, oh yeah, that's right, that is this week. But it is. Check it out. And it, you know, just from the start of it with the play on Ragnarok, and I had just watched that just a few days ago actually, and you know, playing off the Avengers Assemble, like, you know, the Endgame scene. I mean, there was just so many things in there. It was just so amazing. But it's funny too. So just, you know, with the Simpsons, probably the first time I've watched the Simpsons in like forever, but totally worth it.
Totally worth it. I did watch The Flash this week.
Okay.
I did watch it. Even though I took 2 weeks off of the show, I got the gist of what was happening. I do kind of regret not seeing the previous two episodes, even though you called them filler. Well, you said nice things about last week's episode, but...
Yeah.
I can see how... all of the stuff that has been going on over the past several weeks has been building, and they crafted a pretty good web, I think, in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just because I took 2 weeks off and I'm like, oh yeah, this show, I like it.
I probably should have done the same and just got started back last week when the Godspeed chapter started.
It's not bad. I mean, I like how they brought back Dion. That made sense.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting that Iris and Diggle are experiencing the same type of headaches, except for very different reasons.
Yeah.
I also find it just lovely how Diggle, yes, I'm happy to see you, Diggle, but seriously, guys, this whole thing about Green Lantern, like...
Yeah.
Why didn't they just do it on Arrow? They had 8 seasons.
Yeah. True. I figured you would like this episode one because they used Diggle in a good way in this episode. I didn't see the way he played Bass Reeves in Legends, and we saw the, I guess I felt like with Batwoman he was just basically a glorified cheerleader. But I think part of it too is with Batwoman, you know, there was no, you know, pre-existing relationships that he had with the cast and team Whereas with the Flash, you know, Barry and Diggle have always had great, like, comedic moments. Obviously, when Dig gets sick after Barry rushes him somewhere. But also just, you know, it's like that, of course, that obvious tie back to Oliver. And so I thought that you go ahead.
How I was just going to say, there is one scene that I actually really am angry at the writers about, and it includes Diggle, and it's the goodbye scene. And it's just because there's that very cliche moment where he starts to walk away and he says goodbye, and then he's like, Barry, one more thing. Yeah. And I forget what he says, because what he says is so just like, just keep fighting or something.
Yeah, it was very like cliche moment. And I'm like, yeah.
No. You are supposed to tell him, remember what Oliver did for his family, or tie it in like that. Because,
yeah,
like, they made it a big deal about Oliver's sacrifice and how that affected Barry. And I feel like bringing Diggle on, there was that great moment early on in the episode where he talks about being a father and always putting your kids first and your family first. I don't know why they didn't double down on that.
Yeah, that was
farewell scene.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about it, but now that you bring it up, it was a missed opportunity. Which is, there have been a lot of those this season with the show. but this episode being one of them, like, why is it so daggone late in the season? For goodness sake. But you're right. But that was a missed opportunity and a great opportunity for them to, you know, again, really bookend that discussion that they had earlier in the show. Like you said, it would have been a good launching pad for the next scene that we get with Nora and Bart showing up. And also, you know, so it was definitely a missed opportunity there. But, you know, getting to the point about Diggs and Green Lantern, yeah, you know, I was hope. I know he is also going to show up on Superman and Lois, and I think I read somewhere where I'm not sure they'll have the complete resolution there, but hopefully, I know Tom Cavanaugh's, I don't know if it's the finale or one of the penultimate episodes or when, but he will be showing up on Superman and Lois. So maybe we'll get some, I guess, more exploration as far as, you know, getting closer to Green Lantern, and maybe they'll have him on the spinoff on HBO Max, given that that's an anthology series, so they could easily do it that way, or maybe in the, you know, five episodes of The Flash that will bring in characters from other Arrowverse shows. Maybe that'll be that'll happen in that first five episode arc of season 8.
It is going to happen in the very last scene of The Flash series. It is going to happen in the very last season of Batwoman.
They'll find a reason to cross over, and that'll be the crossover. Yeah, but it would be best if it were on The Flash instead of one of the other shows, because at least there is that direct spinoff tie and tie into to Barry and Oliver and Diggs' relationship with Team Arrow. But yeah, I thought this episode, you know, with the Godspeeds, you know, we finally do get the motivations why August Hart was so hellbent on, creating the clone army and wanted a Barry speed and Barry's revenge. And like you said earlier, I think that tying into Force Wars, even as painful as it was to get through that, Dion's purpose, you know, he actually had a purpose this time, which, you know, I think which was lacking early on. But my only quibble with this episode, is I still feel like they are like trying to string too many subplots along, and it takes away from the overall big story.
Yeah. Excuse me. I agree with that. That August Hart stuff worked up until they found August Hart. And then there was a 3-minute scene where all he did was get injected and then suddenly was like, it was such a weird, I'm like, no, don't delay. We already know who it is. I get it. Mm-hmm. You want it to be a buildup, but for a moment I was just like, say a different name.
Yeah.
Say a different name. It would be so perfect if it's not. But no, they didn't do that. And then we got the cute moment at the end with the kiddos.
Yeah.
And the new kiddo. I have very mixed feelings about Jordan Fisher.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know how to feel about him.
I had mixed feelings. Honestly, I mean, even though it was a very cool moment and stuff, I felt a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, especially because, again, they did this weird thing where they had Nora and she's just like, I'm going to do a bunch of exposition and not really tell you why I'm here or why I'm so cheerful. And, oh, yeah, mom's okay. And oh, yeah, just wait a minute and you'll be double surprised. And I'm just like, why are they delaying this?
Yeah, exactly. And it I actually found
more cool if Bart had ran in there and Barry would have accidentally maybe gone on defense because he thought he was like a Godspeed clone. And then Bart comes in and is like, no, that's your son.
Yeah. I like that one a lot better. That would have been, because I found Nora's exposition actually really annoying. I'm like, it's like the worst aspects of the character were at that moment. But I know they were just trying to show how she's motor mouth like Barry and, you know, the geeky, awkward kind of thing. So, you know, just to, I guess, reset everyone about Nora's personality from season 5. But I love your entryway. This is why I need to just go ahead and hire you for the writer's room.
Flash writer's room, call me.
Yeah.
Oh, give me your script. Give me your script.
But, but this episode this week, really, I was like, okay, you know, I did fast forward through, I'll just be honest, the scenes with Allegra and Esperanza. I'm just like, I could care less.
I'm just so proud right now. I haven't even done that, and I should have done it. I did get up and walk around during all of those scenes because I just knew it was like inconsequential, even though they're really trying to make it consequential. I'm like, no.
And I still feel like they're, again, really wasting Jesse's talent.
Yeah. Jesse is such he is in such an interesting situation where it's like the exact opposite of Tom Cavanaugh. Mm-hmm. They went all Tom and they pushed it way too far. And they pretty much destroyed the Wells character for me in season 2. And with Jesse, like it's very similar to Cisco. It's like,
yeah. Yeah.
Every time he's gone, it's like, where's Jesse? And then when he's there, it's like, why didn't we use him this way?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're, you know, a lot of those place scenes where they would have utilized him, now they're doing that with Cecile.
Yeah, it's so confusing to me how they choose who should team up with who these days. Like, they're the team is done. The whole Team Flash thing, I think, is I'm over it. And it's just it feels all every time there's a pairing, it feels so forced and contrived.
Yeah, it does. But Jesse, I mean, clearly he at least likes the work that he's getting, because he signed on for season 8, as well as Danielle at Pennebaker and Candace re-signed as well. Even though I was seeing on Twitter about some rumors that she was not very satisfied with things right now, but I know she's like been posting some amazing photos on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be hard, because it's one thing to kind of get.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Tired and feel like it's repetitious and the writing keeps going down, but it's still your family. And yeah. We hear actors talk about that. Actors of leads, lead actors, these shows talk about all the time that they realize being a lead, you're carrying like paychecks for hundreds of people who all work for that show. So when you say the show is over and you walk away, those people all of a sudden need to go find new work. And, and it's really hard to do. So I get it. I just also think that maybe they're also hoping for a Hail Mary where the next season they can rewrite the ship.
And I think so. I mean, it seems that with these last two episodes and I don't doubt that the 150th, I guess, is next week, and then the finale the following week. I think the show is it's slowly getting its footing back. I mean, I think Eric Wallace just needs to just figure out how to, with this graphic novel context, just learn how the really juggle subplots and structure them in a way that doesn't take away from the overarching story in an episode. Because I just feel like the other thing this season is think the episodes are just really, really packed with just too much daggone stuff.
Too much. And it dilutes it so much.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
man, let's talk about
Loki. Let's move on to Loki. Yeah.
Let's talk about a well-balanced, well-structured show that just gets better every week. I still have an affinity for the very first episode. I do have to say that. There's something about that first episode. It was just pure magic. I really like this episode.
Yeah, I did. It wasn't my favorite one. First one was. I did really enjoy just seeing all the various Lokis and we get President Loki, who, you know, they've been teasing that photo, that still image of him, like in every promo. This was you know, for a penultimate episode, you know, those are always hard.
Right.
But I think they stuck the landing and set up for hopefully an MCU finale that will break the mold of what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I like this episode, and it goes back to what we were just talking about with the things that the Flash keeps getting wrong. It's that Loki, they had a lot of pairings in this episode that never felt forced and never felt contrived. And they all allowed us to see these characters in different, from a new perspective. And there was a well-balanced division of the episode where there's a good quarter to a half where we have a bunch of Ramona and Sylvie, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Ramona, geez, that character. I'm still confused by her, and I like it. I like being confused by her. I like how Sylvie figured out that she was being conned with Miss Minutes, which during that scene, I thought about something you said last week, just offhand, about a Kang and Miss Minutes connection. And I'm like, Will, do not the writer's room. How many times do you have to but I really like that, and I didn't feel like it was distracting me, and I wanted to hurry up and get back to Loki, because I don't know how many Lokis we saw in this episode, but I to spend a whole hour with just them, that would have been a lot. So I'm really glad that they were able to go back and forth, and then even when Sylvie does go over and into the void, she then doesn't immediately meet Loki, she immediately meets Mobius. So I really like how the pairings all worked and it all came together.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, whenever I was watching those scenes, you know, it just reinforces Ramona's potential connection with Kang.
Yep.
And you know, I'm not expecting to see Kang at the end of the episode next week, because I think, you know, and maybe that's where they'll break the mold. I mean, that's one thing they may do this time. You know, because in the previous two times we thought we would get one thing. You know, obviously, you know, we thought Mephisto, but they. And then, but I think we will. I think we will get that confirmation that it's Kang. I mean, because I'm trying to think of who other, as far as other villains, that it could be, as far as in the next phase that we would, you know, have a tie, you know, to link this to the overall bigger picture of what they're doing in Phase 4. But you're right. The way that, you know, think back to the second or third episode, or so, when we first was introduced to little Loki, Sylvie, and you know, they're back in that courtroom, and you know, the things that are happening there, and I'm starting to conflate the Bart and the Loki, but anyway, but thinking back to that, that moment, and then their discussions, you know, whenever, Sylvie, you know, had the pruning stick and trying to get the temp pad so that she can, continue to, you know, try to find out what the truth is about the TVA, and enforcing her to work with Miss Minutes, and you know, and those classified files, and then it had the special time ship that can travel to the void, and you know, and all the subterfuge that was going on there. It was just like the Loki. It's like Ramona is like basically playing off of you know, taking the tricks of the Lokis and doing it to a Loki. To the point where it's like, well, is she a Loki too?
Right.
And maybe that could be the reveal at the end, that it was another Loki who was doing all this to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of theories that Mobius is just a Loki. I mean, the whole variant concept and was such a good wrinkle in this in this story that has totally flipped everything on its head. And I really like how I feel like we continue to get like 50 shades of Ramona, because last week Ramona, she went from having drinks to Mobius to killing Mobius, well, displacing him, transferring him into the void. And then all of a sudden she of course, naturally in defense and is in defensive mode and is like, no, Sylvie, you need me in order to find Loki. You need me in order to figure out what's really going on here. And then there's that twist with Miss Minutes. But then later she goes and does some interrogating and well, is she does she know more than she says, or does she not? Because it sounds like she's still in the dark. And anyone in the dark, even if you still believe what you're fighting for, you still want to know what's really going on, right?
Right.
So yeah. I don't know. I'm glad that we still have that mystery of that character and the TVA, and Mobius is going back there to burn it all down.
Yep.
They're going to have some interesting moments next week.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if, you know, as we talked about last week, at least in the comics, Mobius basically is the TVA, and he clones, there's a bunch of Mobiuses, and so that run the agency. So if they do tear it down, I mean, that could be the thing that happens, where he does topple Ramona and keep Kang from taking over the TVA. So that he can't use it for future mischief in phase four. And, you know, and that's maybe why he needs to do things in the quantum realm and at, you know, in the next Ant-Man movie, to try to fix that, you know, cause I'm sure, you know, that, you know, those would be the obvious, you know, those would be the tie-ins to this show and things down further down the timeline, the sacred timeline.
Sacred timeline that we just piss all over.
Yep.
I think, and I don't know if you've watched this at all, but on the SEN network, the Inner Geekdom show, do they still call it that, or do they call it something else these days?
I know they were changing the name. I haven't had a chance to watch hardly any of them this week, but so.
Watch their episode covering this episode.
Okay.
Watch it, and I'm telling our listeners to go and watch that one, go listen to it, because those two, they spent about 40 minutes breaking down the episode, but more importantly, they do have some good insight as to who is the man behind the curtain, and no, I'm not talking about Kang. So they really do a good job, and I'm glad I listened to it. Because they talk about all of the different possibilities, and there are some hints in this episode, and it makes me want to go and rewatch, even though I still won't really understand because I don't have that comic book context. But they offer some good insights as to what Feige is really playing at here. Because what if it's Feige?
what if it's Feige? Yeah. But what if it's Sylvie? I mean, maybe Sylvie is it. I mean, if that's
let me just have my Feige moment here.
Okay.
Like the end credit scene is whoever it is, they like have a scene. And then they say cut, and they drop like a green screen, and it's just Feige standing there. And we're like, I see you.
that would be beautiful. That would be like, yeah. And he just kind of like, yeah, drink green screen. The thing drops, and he just winks at us.
Yeah. And you know what? Put on some Loki horns, you know,
yeah.
maybe Feige's been a Loki all this time too.
Maybe, but that would be the so meta and so like breaking the mold that I would, that, yeah, maybe that'll be the outtake.
Maybe they're going to come out and say, yeah, Feige voiced the alligator in that episode.
Yeah.
Yes, he's definitely a Loki. So we've talked a lot about Sylvie and Ramona and Mobius and the man behind the curtain. What are your thoughts on all of the Lokis?
I really enjoyed that whole sequence of all the Lokis because, you know, we get we end last week's episode, of course, we see classic Loki, alligator Loki, kid Loki, and I guess boastful Loki. And then to actually, so I was curious, you know, whenever we got to see them this week and the, all their interplay with one another, with our Loki, you know, boastful Loki talking about how he took down Tony Stark and Captain America. And then, and you know, as I mentioned earlier in our discussion, finally seeing President Loki and, you know, and I think alligator Loki in his own way stole the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's like, because and that was, I think, a character, you know, original to the show. It wasn't one that was based in the comics or anything like that. So seeing how it, you know, it quickly, like, took care of President Loki's right hand. And, but Kid Loki, you know, had some moments that, you know, that they tied back into, I think, into the lore. And you know, and how he killed Thor, and you know, and how and the boastful, you know, basically trying to figure out what were their nexus events that caused them to get put into the End of Time. You know, so basically, you know, the whole concept that basically the TVA just based, you know, they're sending all these Loki variants to the End of Time because that's the only place where they can put them where they won't cause any more mischief.
It's still, all of those discussions still made me want to know what was Sylvie's nexus event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
it couldn't have been just because she was born a female version of Loki, because she was like, what, 6 or 7 when they took her?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I mean, I have a suspicion it was a precautionary thing,
mm-hmm.
where they knew, or maybe you're right. Maybe it is a different version of Sylvie at the end of the tunnel. And so they're going to do this whole weird time loop thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's very possible. You know, and 'cause it seems that, she, you know, when we think about the end of the episode where she, well, even earlier in the episode when she first was pruned and had the encounter with the beast, can't remember his name right now, but you know, she was able to enchant it for a short moment and saw beyond the void,
right.
And what could be over there. And it seems that of the Lokis, she has control over things more so than others. Until, well, with the exception of classic Loki, which Richard E. Grant just killed it. But it seemed that, you know, and I guess that's where, when we figure out the man behind the curtains, it could be a Loki, because it seems that all the sum of all these various parts of the Lokis that we've encountered would ultimately be the engine of chaos or because really, when you think about it, I mean, the universe is just chaotic. It's not an orderly thing. So, maybe, you know, so maybe this, it is the, all these little subpart, you know, in order to keep the quote unquote order, the current, you know, the man behind the curtain, who, if it is a Loki, realizes that, oh, I got to make sure I put all my craziness at the End of Time here so that we can keep things in place and things flowing. And so, you know, this is some of the parts that, like, understands that, because we saw that moment with Sylvie and Loki when they realized, like, oh, we're stronger than we realize.
Right. And I like how they did that. I like how they kept referring to glorious purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Very reminiscent of the first episode. I appreciate the callback and this self-realization that was occurring through a lot of the Lokis, and mm-hmm. and this idea that these Lokis, if we really listened and understood what happened when they caused their Nexus event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the kid Loki killed Thor. Mm-hmm. I wonder if part of that was like, no, not only did he win, but suddenly he had regret.
And right.
Experienced some humanity. Yeah. It's interesting how the Loki we've been going through the story with has been on this whole path without even realizing it, of figuring out who he really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the very first episode, he saw his entire timeline.
Yeah, he did.
And he still thinks like, no, that's my destiny right there. My destiny is a failure. And now I think through this whole experience, he realizes, oh no, time isn't a fixed point.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm also really curious if this Loki will survive. I almost don't want him to, because I almost think it'll be more beautiful
mm-hmm.
if there's some sort of sacrifice mm-hmm. or some sort of, no, this is the end of my story, but that doesn't mean that Loki is gone forever.
Right.
Because there are all of these other versions. So
Yeah. And we do know one thing that Lokis do. They do survive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another thing that could really happen too is, like, you know, to your point of his self, you know, self-realization on many, many things is, I mean, what the other thing that could happen is maybe he, in the goal of trying to tear down the TVA and stuff, he realizes that he is the TVA. I mean, you know, there's any number of variants, there's any number of variants and variables that it can go with this. And I think that's why I think the way this show has been structured really works so well. And like you said earlier, the variant concept gives us, so many great ways of storytelling. And in this episode, like you were saying too, hearing the various Lokis share their stories. And, you know, I also think the moment with Mobius and Kid Loki and Classic Loki as well, whenever he was just kind of, you know, when Mobius was reflecting on things and them helping him realize, like, okay, yeah, I've got to figure out a way to go back and tear it all down.
Right.
And then, you know, and then, of course, you know, he did get the temp pad from Sylvie and go back to do that. And I love the moment too at the end when he gave Sylvie a hug and he's like, you're my favorite.
I like that a lot too. It's just classic.
Yeah.
Humor. I was also just thinking about how I think it says a lot that at no point since the first episode have I been like, when are we going to see Thor? When are we going to see Asgard?
Mm-hmm.
When are we going to go back to those characters? And I think that speaks a lot to about Loki and how he is the ultimate anti-hero.
Yeah.
He's not a villain, and I've never really viewed him through that lens of pure like Thanos level, but I've also, and we've talked about other anti-villains in the past and how it's so hard to do, and the MCU is really kind of broadcasting to us through this show that you realize that you have been secretly falling for this person the entire time, and he actually is more multidimensional than he even realized is how many different layers there are to him and aspects there are to him. And I think that is really, outstanding that they're able to take this character who I've never really been drawn to in the cinematic universe, mm-hmm. give him 8 hours or 6 hours, and suddenly I'm just like, I want another season of this.
Yeah. It is funny you say that because having watched this series now, and then as I mentioned over the holiday weekend, I watched Thor Ragnarok again.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so now that we have, you know, we've gone on this journey with the Loki that that was captured, that escaped from the Battle of New York, and seeing this journey of it, and then, you know, and juxtapose that with the Loki that we've seen in the subsequent films from the first Avengers movie, you're right. I do have a greater appreciation of this character in both contexts, and to your other point, yeah, you know, I haven't really thought about, like, well, dang it, I wish so-and-so would show up and, you know, in this series, because, you know, I'm completely invested in his journey and don't care about any other, other hero or Thor or anybody, you know, showing up at this point. Actually, I feel like at this point it would take away from it.
Oh, it would be distracting, and it's not about them. It would, the one time I did get upset is when we had a Mobius-less episode.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta have Mobius.
And really, the only, you know, of course, and you know, there was a nice nod to Asgard, you know, even in this episode with classic Loki, whenever he created Asgard to distract the beast when they were trying to break into the void. So it's just it's all about Loki.
It's all about Loki, and then again, it's all about this story and the TVA and what they've done. I don't know, this show, I knew from the trailer this show was going to be good. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting the writing to be as good as it is. Really wasn't.
Yeah, I agree.
The visuals, like, we're still blown away by the writing. We're like, yeah, everyone watches it, so they've seen it. Like, it's enough said, it speaks for itself. But I'm very caught off guard by how good that writing is. But
yeah.
And I'm, you know, shows, movies, gotta put on notice. It's really hard to, like, Black Widow. I don't know how I'm going to feel now that I'm like one episode away from, or the season finale of Loki is coming. Like, that's our thing.
Yeah. I'm really, and I guess their scheduling thing, I don't know if it was just an oversight or what, but I hate that they are stepping on the Loki finale with Black Widow's release this weekend. And not because of some stupid Steven Dorff reason either. It's just, I just feel like they're just cannibalizing their own property inadvertently.
Yeah. They should have definitely had it premiere on an off week without a TV show running, because that's when, like we want to stay focused on one of these characters' story, see it all the way through, and then move on to a different story. It feels more clean that way, and we'll get there. I mean, they have so much stocked up that they're trying their best to get it out to us.
Yeah, and it's going to happen again in the fall too with the Shang-Chi and What If, because I mean, it's, you know, What If's going to be, you know, all, you know, 10 episodes, so that'll, you know, premiere in early August, so. Yeah, so 10 weeks. I think Shang-Chi's probably about the same around finales will be about the same time too. So, you know, they know what they're doing. I mean, they put it this way. I mean, they know we're going to be watching and talking about it. So I guess it's a win-win for them either way.
Yeah, they definitely know where this sacred timeline is going. And on that note, Will, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at Will M. Polk, WILLMPOLK on Twitter.
And you can find me at SJ Belmont, SJBELMONT. Please follow our crew on Twitter at Scene and Nerd. Friend us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. But most importantly, rate, follow, and comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Good night, Geek Out. You're welcome.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.